It's Comic-Con this weekend in Adelaide, if you didn't know already. Our presenter, Rebecca Elliott, had the chance to sit down with the stars from Clerks, Brian O'Halloran and Marilyn Gigliotti, to have a chat about what happens in Clerks 3.
Welcome to Adelaide. Have you guys had much chance to do anything since being here?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yesterday was like 5 days in one. So we started off by taking a trip up to the toy factory, where they also have a petting zoo. So we got to feed and pet kangaroos, wallabies, ducks, aggressive sheep, goats, quite a few things. Bought a couple of little knickknacks at the toy factory. Then we went up to the wine country part of the tour.
It's beautiful there.
Yes, and we went to two wineries up there, which were fantastic. We had lunch at the first one, and quite a rousing tasting. I mean, now granted, there was 21 of us on this bus, so wrangling 21 and 7 or 8 of them being very personality driven people like myself was quite an event, quite a feat. So by the time we got back and to wind down, we all went out to dinner. We went to a lovely oyster bar here in town, just to start with oysters, and then we went over to Concubai Chinese food, which is very good there. And then few of us went all the way down to this karaoke bar. It wasn't everybody's taste, but...
Is it Le Sing?
I believe it was.
Yeah, that's what somebody else mentioned. And yeah, it might
and
have
it
been.
Was myself.
Everyone ends up at Le Sing.
Yeah, exactly. So myself, Marilyn, Arthur, and I think her name is Beck, too, the girl who helped us, who's part of the show.
Yeah.
We stayed for the actual karaoke.
And had a blast.
And had a blast and didn't get out of there until probably like one-ish.
And I don't think anybody recognized us.
Which
at
is
all.
Great.
Yeah, it's I perfect. Know. Yeah, it's just made
exactly.
for real...
Exactly. Or even Arthur, so it was awesome.
Well, although they did have their fans just by their singing, so that was
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, we did have people come up like, you're great, mate. Keep up the good singing, mate. So that was a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Well,
it was definitely worth the trip.
Is that one of the best things about doing these sorts of conventions is that you're visiting new cities so often?
Oh, absolutely, but we don't always get to see these cities the way we've been able to actually get to know the places that we've visited here in Australia. I mean, it's amazing. And I also thanked the promoters because it's like, it was nice to get to know them. I don't always get to know the promoters or even get to see the promoters all the time because they're busy running around and doing their things.
Yeah. In the States, it's usually if the show, let's say, is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday type of convention, you're usually flying in on the Thursday, you're a bit jet lagged, you get yourself a bite to eat, you get yourself prepared, if you go set up your booth or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then by Friday, you're doing the convention, and some of them go on a Friday as late as like 8 o'clock, and then you're to dinner and to bed, and then the next morning, 9 a.m., and straight about doing the same thing again. So you're not really, they don't really schedule things for you to do because then you're flying out either the Sunday night after the show wraps or the Monday morning.
And there's sometimes that there is absolutely nothing around where the convention is being held. I've had those moments.
Well, yeah, there are those. but I'd say at the same time, I like going to locally owned places, locally owned restaurants, locally owned bars, locally owned shops, just because I think it's the community that you want to come out to your show that you need to support just as well.
Right.
You know?
It's really interesting, that side of being an actor as well. Like, not all actors have that kind of experience or can enjoy that kind of experience as well. Have you, I mean, I guess when you started out acting, that was never really what you thought your life would be like. What's it been like sort of, you know, building your career around conventions? This must be a huge part of your life now.
I mean, you know, when I first started doing community theatre, and when the opportunity came to do a film, I wasn't thinking about the fact it's like, oh, you know, this is what my career is going to be, and that it's going to go to where most actors want. I mean, and you know what? To a lot of degree, it still hasn't. But I know a lot of people would kill to be just in my shoes. So I know that, and I understand that. But, you know, how do you know? It's like so many struggling actors out there. How can you possibly know what it's going to be like? I mean, I just know that at a certain point, it's like the passion just grew for me. And, you know, this is what I wanted to continue doing. And I can't imagine anything else.
For me, it was, it's not, you know, there's the old adage, man plans, God laughs. It's just, I'm very quick to adapt to make the best of what the situation I've been given. I've been very blessed and fortunate to have worked with incredibly talented writers, directors, that have gotten me job upon job upon job upon job. If I didn't work at the community theater level, and made friends and did shows at the community theater that then eventually Kevin used to hire people out of. I would never have gotten involved in Clerks. Then Clerks not being, you know, if it didn't come out the time that it did, if it didn't get the reputation that it did, I never would have worked again with Kevin or maybe never with anyone ever again. So now that seeing myself 24 years later and talking about filmmaking and working with some great people like M. Night Shyamalan and James L. Brooks and quite a few others. It's been a cool ride that I never, ever, ever lose touch as to where I started or where I'm going. I don't pull diva type attitudes like, this is the wrong hairbrush! You know, that you'll never hear me be like that or something like, I said hot tea, not cold tea, you know.
Thank you. As a PA, I've experienced that.
And that's the other thing. Look, I believe in you treat... Look, I was raised up an Irish Catholic, you know, and I'm the type who... I believe in I believe in the ideals, I hate the administration type of thing. It's, you know, like it's like a government. But one of the core values is treat others as you want to be treated. And that's what every single day I do that. If there's someone wearing a name badge, I immediately always say their name. Thank you, Beck, or thank you, James, or thank you, whoever. And because through the grace of God, I could be down on the line. The same people you meet up are going to be the same people you meet on the way down. And so I'm never the type that... That's right, I'm a cult icon. I get people shouting my phrase to me every single day. Blah, 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 blah. Now I'm going to go back with my, you know, it's not like that at all. I'm a working actor.
Are there people who are proud of that and like, you know, I get yelled at, people tell me my catchphrase all the time and I'm a big shot.
It's not a big shot. Look, it's not a big shot when you're asked, are you even supposed to be here today? I'm not a big shot. It's a funny line and I get it. Yeah. Unfortunately, Marilyn has things shouted at her, which is not so pleasant in mixed company when you don't know the reference.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. I mean, and along with what he was saying, too, it's like, I tell friends, it's like, slap me if I ever become the diva that some people become. I don't know how. He's playing. No, but I just say the golden rule. It's you know, do unto others as you would have done unto you and all that kind of stuff. Now, he's better at the remembering people's names than I am.
Well, they have name badges. It does help me.
But I can't always see because I can't have my glasses on all the time.
I know. It's totally cool.
But in filmmaking, it's necessity, especially independent filmmaking, to get back to your original point, is it's all a crew getting to the main goal, getting this piece of work done. Especially on independent films, people who pull diva stuffs on independent films are like, A, we don't have the time nor the money to deal with your baby attitude of like, oh my God, you didn't get me creme de mer hair, like face wash. Just deal with the Boots brand for God's sakes, or, you know, the Target brand for, you know, like we got to get to shooting. We're losing light, you know, that type of thing. Save the diva stuff from the premiere. It was like, well, yes, I carried this movie. You know, 20 of my own dollars went into the catering. You know, I don't care. It's just, let's get the thing done.
Yeah.
And I work with a lot of independent filmmakers and a lot of first-time filmmakers, too. Just I enjoy the aspect of it's usually much more edgier and challenging writing on independent filmmaking. I like the flexibility that independent directors give seasoned actors, because they're bringing you on board because they like what you've done, they trust your work, and hopefully you'll bring a cachet to the project. So it's that type of stuff that I always embrace, independent filmmakers especially.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on sets where it's an independent film, where it's like, we've got a small crew, but if you need help on something, I'm there. I'm there to help, you know. So unfortunately, though, when you get to the union jobs, it's like they don't allow you to do those things, and whether you want to help or not. So,
but that's their job. I mean, if you're at that level where you're doing union, that's the rules, exactly. And I abide by them, and I get it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is the wonderful thing about filmmaking, and I think what a lot of people fall in love with filmmaking about is that community spirit, that you're all working on something to make a product, and to make a piece of art even sometimes, and how wonderful that is. And that's why I've fallen in love with the film. And I guess you guys are still doing it, so you obviously have a passion for it as well.
Yes.
With Clerks, what I find fascinating is that 90s has really come back around. It's kind of cool. I mean, I was a little bit too young to watch it when it first came out, but, you know, I watched it not too long after. Are you finding you're getting a younger audience, like an audience that definitely weren't around?
Oh, yeah, for the last few years, yes. I mean, we're getting third generations, and some of them quite young, that you wonder, who let you watch this film? So, because it's just so relatable of a film, I don't think it's that far-fetched to know that it's like, I think it's going to continue to have its following.
Well, what helps is that because Kevin is still a producing machine when it comes to directing and producing and podcasting and his one-man show, or if it's him and Jason Mewes on his Jay and Silent Bob podcast traveling show, he's out there and he's always relevant, especially in the pop culture world, Comic-Con type of thing as well. So fortunate enough that I've been able to work with him quite a few times, and those works still starting to be seen by younger and younger viewers. It's the same thing, you know. There was talk about doing a Clerks 3. Unfortunately, that's been canceled, but it's been replaced by a Jay and Silent Bob movie. So that's something else that'll bring these characters around yet again. So as long as that stuff gets put back into the pop culture mainstream again, people want to go back and go, well, what's the history of this filmmaker and stuff like that, which is great. And now that people of our age who were Gen Xers who made that movie are now people who have kids who are in their 20s who are probably having kids of their own. Mm-hmm. So you got to watch this kind of movie, hand-me-down type of situation is going on. You know, now, when you say, well, I bought it on VHS, sometimes you have to explain what VHS means to certain millennials. They just don't really grab it. So you say, well, ask your grandparents what VHS is. See, at a time, we actually had to go out the house to go get our movies. It just wasn't on our iPad or our phone. So those type of things, it's kind of funny, and it's kind of, wow, I can't believe we've traveled this far in time that, you know, even the medium in which to see our film has changed quite a bit. Soon it'll be just a chip that we just slide into our head, apparently.
Something to look forward to.
Right? Yeah. But the access to it has been great, and it's look, the strength of this whole scenario is based on Kevin Smith's writing. It's the true star of what we've done. His level of being able to tap into the angst that was Generation X, the overeducated, unemployed, which is still back again. It never left. We've always been overeducated, underemployed. Although now a lot of people, especially around the world, are thinking Americans are much undereducated and not and underemployed. But with that being said, it tapped into that type of angst of the youth who are that, who are educated and underemployed, and what am I doing with my life, and why am I in this such a bollocks of a situation, you know?
Both you guys being actors, and I guess when you're on set, you're doing a role, you're doing a job, and you often probably wouldn't think that you'd have to revisit a character and talk about a character for years and years and years later on down the track. I asked this to someone else earlier, but do you find that you're still sort of revisiting your characters mentally when you get asked questions about them at conventions? Are you sort of going back and thinking about the headspace that you were in when you performed that?
Not necessarily, no. If anything, thinking about the moment, and because I can't, 23 years ago, I can't remember yesterday sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily the headspace of what I was, because it's, I felt I took away a lot of who Veronica was, and was a lot of who she was as well. And mostly it's like how she takes relationships and things like that, and because it's something that's very important to me. So it's not that different.
Okay. I mean, for me, we revisited the character of Dante in 5 other films and mediums. So for me, it was like every couple of years, it was a refresher course of him again. And getting to that whiny, woe is me kind of attitude, which is not really me at all. I can do it very well, and sometimes I will bitch about something like that and sound like, I'm like, what do you mean I can't get this? That type of thing. And we all have some friend out there who's like a Randall, who you just like, who are outrageous that you got to rein in sometimes. But at the same time, they give you that spice of life and variety of shock that doesn't make everything just so bored. So I've been, for me, it's not that hard to get back into talking about Dante and not being in that headspace. Other characters of other films, maybe, you got to think back about that time. There was a film written, directed, and co-starred by Brian Johnson, who is the real-life inspiration of Randall, good friend of Kevin Smith. We did a film called Vulgar, and that's the role that the arc of the character that I played, Will Carlson, was a very deep type of thing. And as a matter of fact, that friend and writer and co-star of Comic Book Men, by all means, is thinking about doing a sequel to. So and maybe getting back to another dark space yet again.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, a lot of my friends have asked me to ask you, so if you don't want to answer it, it's pre-recorded, it's totally fine. Can you talk us through about why Clerks 3 was cancelled?
Clerks 3 was cancelled real quickly just because one of the main four players didn't want to do it. That's pretty much simply as it went. As much as negotiating back and forth trying to get the person on board went, it was something that I think just was not in his mindset to wanting to do. The person wanted to do it, had stated they wanted to do it, and then it, when it gets into the minutia of negotiations, that's where things can sometimes fall apart, and it did. But from what I've been told by Kevin, there's a good bit of Clerks 3 storyline and other things that we can carnage, you know, take parts of out of Clerks 3 to put in this Jay and Silent Bob reboot. So hopefully, you know, as sad as it is that the Dante and Randall characters can't be together to finish off, especially now that there was a baby on the way as we last left off with two, and Rosario Dawson playing Becky was coming back, as well as Trevor Furman, who played Elias. We had the core people really ready to go, just one other player just didn't want to do it. So that was it.
I guess it's like Posh Spice not wanting to join the Spice Girls.
Yeah, but she made out pretty well with that Beckham feller, so, you know, she had her reasons, but hey.
She's doing all right. Cool. Thank you, guys.
That was Rebecca Elliott chatting with the stars from Clerks, Brian O'Halloran and Marilyn Gigolotti. For more information on Comic-Con, which is happening this weekend, and where to find tickets, head to www.ozcomiccon.com.au/Adelaide.